If you right now would please welcome and give a round of applause for your campus pastor, the greatest pastor on the planet, in Jesus' name. Welcome your campus pastor.
Wow. Wow, thank you. That was all planned. I knew Pastor Dwayne was going to do that, so I made an entrance. Guys, thank you so much. It's good to be here. Leanne and I are really excited about being here and being able to be with you. We finished up speaking at Jubilee yesterday afternoon, recorded the online message with Pastor Jacob yesterday afternoon, and then hit the road. And we were able to be with you guys last night at Jubilee. If you didn't get Jubilee and you didn't get the family conference, I want to encourage you to go back and watch that. It's available on the website, but it's just awesome to be able to be with you and be here today. Amen? Give the Lord a shout of praise, why don't you? At the time of Jubilee, we do at Victory Life Church, we do two very distinct things. For those of you who have been around here, you could probably tell me what those two things are we do at Jubilee. For those of you who don't know what Jubilee is, and you're here for the very first time today, Jubilee is a time where we at the church here do two things. We take a moment every year to look back and say thank you to the Father for what He has done, and we look forward with the Father prophetically for what He wants to do with us going forward. That's what we do at Jubilee. We are very intentional about saying, God, you have done a great job in us. No matter our circumstance, no matter COVID or not, no matter what is going on, we give God thanks. And when we look back at things like COVID, when God gets involved, He turns things like that into the good. Victory Life Church has never been able to reach as many people as it could have if COVID didn't happen because of our digital presence. We've been able to reach out to people around the world in our campuses that weren't even going to church before COVID, are all of a sudden now coming back to church because of our digital presence. So we give God thanks. Consider it all joy, brothers, when you walk through all sorts of trials. Because when God's involved, great things happen, even when we are complaining. Amen? That's the first thing we do. So the first arrow is we're saying we're going to look back with a degree of thankfulness. The second arrow is that we're going to come and we're going to say, hang on, we want to be expectant. But I wanted to take a moment today to talk about the time when those two activities converge. Hang on a second. Let's look at those two things. The first is I'm grateful for what has happened. And the second is I'm expectant for what will be. But there's a moment when those two things converge. At Victory Life Church, we call that convergence jubilee. We take a moment to pause. It's like when mom brings out that plate of food that she has been preparing all day and puts it in front of you and it is delicious. There's a gratitude that wells up in your heart for the food that she's put in front of you, but there's an expectation for you to get it again tomorrow night. It all happens in the same moment. That moment of expectation coupled with gratitude, that's called thankfulness. You see, when we come into Jesus Christ's realm, what He has done impacts what He will do. What He has done already in us impacts what is to come. And there's a moment where those two things have to converge for us to be genuinely thankful. Am I making sense? I'm going to tell the 9 o'clock service. I'm going to tell the 11 o'clock service, but I told the 9 o'clock service. I come from Africa. If you don't holler, amen, whatever you need to do, you better do it, because otherwise I'm going to go African on you to go, I'll start amening myself if I have to. And then I sometimes confuse myself with my own preaching, so please just amen me so know that I know I'm on the right track, amen? So this moment of convergence, this healthy tension between being grateful for what is and what was, impacts what we can expect. And when we can get into a healthy tension, that's better, when we can get into a healthy tension, we're going to start walking out the balance of thankfulness. I'm thankful for my parents for what they have done and what they set me up to do. Are you with me? I'm I'm trying to get through the fact that there's a fulcrum, a tipping point, a middle ground that keeps these two things in balance. We in the church can get so wrapped up in gratitude that we never move forward. I'm so thankful for what Jesus did at the cross. I'm so grateful that he died for me. That we forget that he's a risen king, prophetically governing over the entire universe. Are you with me? I'm so grateful that Jesus has healed me. I'm so grateful that I have received. I'm so grateful that I have the gospel living on inside of me. We can get so wrapped up in gratitude that we forget that we are supposed to be transforming other people's lives with what he's already done in ours. Am I making sense? But the flip side is also true. We can get so wrapped up in expectation that we forget about what's happened before us. We can get so super spiritual prophetic that we forget about that there's a wisdom and a cost to walking out with Jesus Christ. We can get so behebe-jeebie that we're not transforming anybody because they don't know what we're talking about. You're covered by the blood in the name of Jesus. Have you noticed that the prophetic folk in our midst always add a, at the end of Jesus? Or is that just the Nigerian preachers? Jesus. Then you know, man, this is going to be prophetic. There's a healthy tension that has to exist between gratitude and expectation. Because you see, gratitude keeps us humble. Gratitude is, in fact, an expression of humility. It is a posture of humility. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever had your feet washed in a foot washing service? Come on, raise your feet. I mean your hands. You know what it's like. Someone's serving you, but you are humbled. When we look back with gratitude, we are humbled by what Jesus has already done. We are humbled by what he did for us. We are humbled by the fact that while we were yet sinners, he believed in us. While we were yet sinners, he thought well of us. While we were yet sinners, he wanted the greatest things for us. While we were depressed, he had a purpose. While we were suppressed, he was releasing. We are humbled by the fact in our gratitude to what Jesus has done for us. And that beauty of humility keeps the boldness of our expectation in check. Am I making sense? Because I can get wrapped up, for those of you who haven't learned this about me yet, when I raise my hand, I'm preaching it myself. So just let me have a moment. I can get so wrapped up in the vision and the dream and the desire and the plan that I forget to dot the I's and cross the T's. I can get so wrapped up that I ramshod over people because that's what Jesus has called me to do. And I'm going and I'm going and I'm going. And I get almost boastful at the fact that I have faith. Where's your faith, brother? And that poor brother sitting over here on the side of gratitude going, dude, get off it. It's okay. Calm down. Am I making sense? We've got to get into this balance of gratitude and humility coupled with a confidence that our faith is giving us. Our expression of our faith is driving us forward in expectation. Gratitude is part of humility, and humility is part of gratitude. And faith is part of boldness. It's part of being proud in what Jesus is doing. I'm proud Jesus saved me. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty proud of that fact. I'm pretty proud of the fact that he's taken me from the miry clay and he's lifted me to being a son of the Most High God. I'm pretty proud of the fact that he's moved me from sitting on the left-hand side to the right-hand side of the Father. I'm pretty proud of the fact that we've been able to achieve incredible things as a family in Jesus' name. I'm pretty proud of what God has done for us in faith. But my gratitude keeps my pride humble. I can have humble pride, not humble pie, humble pride. Not pride in myself, pride in what Jesus has done through me. That's called gratitude. And when I can get those two things in balance, man, now I can walk in understanding what I can achieve because what has been achieved. Come on now. Get African on me. There we go. That was good. Haikona wena. That was Zulu, so you'll have to figure that one out. And when we get into this gratitude being a posture of humility and expectation being an expression of faith, we're not just walking boldly, blindly, and crazily. We're walking with a balance where thankfulness keeps us in check. Thankfulness keeps us focused. When I know what I'm thankful for, because I know what was and what is, and I'm carrying the two in balance, when I'm grateful for those two things, that's when I know where I need to go. That's what I know where I need to put energy into. When I'm thankful for my family, I know I need to put energy into that. When I'm thankful for my church, I know where to put my energy, where I have purpose. It's in the balance. But if I go crazily after the prophetic, I'm not in balance. I'm kind of basing it on a word and a dream that I had and a this and a that and a the other. Not that there's anything wrong with that. In balance. There's a craziness to a super spiritual prophetic person that kind of blows my mind sometimes. And that's my primary gift. There's a whirlwind that like, stop, dude, enough scripture. Just hang on. Let me process. Whoa. But there's a restfulness when I can get the two in balance. When I'm grateful and expectant at the same time. Does it make sense? And when we have a look at scripture, I want to read Luke chapter 14, verse 28 today. So take out your apps, take out your YouVersion. You can find Brianwood Victory Life Church on YouVersion. Did you know that? Pretty cool, eh? Bible.com, you can go there, go to events, and there we are. Open up your Victory Life Church apps if you have to. Take out a printed Bible if you're that old. I mean, if you want to. I'm joking. And if you don't have a phone, we'll pray for you. And let's just have a look at Luke chapter 14, verse 28. It says this, "For which of you, say with me, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and what? Count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it." You see two kind of states of mind there. The first one is a desire, an expectation, a dream, an imagination. But there's a counting of the cost, what has gone before, what you have, what you've been given, what you have in your hand, that needs to be in balance to be able to achieve the desire. Sometimes as Christians, we get so caught up in the desire that we forget about the wisdom of being grateful. And sometimes we're pondering about what we're grateful for that we have no desire to move from where we are. I'm just so happy at the foot of the cross, brother. Well, even Jesus moved on from that. I'm just so grateful. I just took that to the cross. That's great. Why don't we take it to the foot of the reigning king in heaven? You see, I'm not destroying what Jesus did at the cross. I'm grateful for it, but I'm grateful and I keep in balance with what he's doing and now and in the future. And because I can keep the two in balance, I can live a thankful, purpose-driven life. And that scripture outlines it for us. If I want to build a tower, I've got to have desire. Look to your wife and your husband. Just for a moment, if you're here with your spouse and say, "I desire you. I desire you." There's a desire. Otherwise, you wouldn't be married. But there's also a gratitude that that person desires me. There's a balance. Hopefully, you desire each other. I'm praying that we don't have to have a marriage conference on desire. But when we can be thankful because we have a dream, and we have a mechanism that's already been worked out for us to work out the dream, now we can get to work. But if we're so busy with dreams and ideas and we don't even have the bank account open yet, how's God going to bless our finances? We've got to be grateful with the wisdom God has given us, the maturity that God has given us, the sense of direction and the weight behind some of you in the congregation that's going to weigh in on systems and processes and ideas and things that need to be protected and kept, all the while knowing that we're doing that to keep in balance with the excitement of something new. Aren't we blessed that Pastor Stan and Kathy have sown in, and we're grateful for what they've laid on so that we can go forward with something new? But if we just rush headlong into something new and we're not grateful for what has been, we're not in balance. And in 5 years' time, you're going to be saying, oh, please, Lord Jesus, just bring Pastor Stan back. Good heavens. This guy's a whirlwind. I can't keep up. Because we need to be in balance. Aren't we grateful for the fact that we have a generation that's gone before us so that we can sow into the generation that's coming ahead of us? Am I making sense? It's balance to get to thankfulness. It's not allowing depression to rob you of your vision, because Jesus has already taken care of the depression so that you can have a vision. It's not because you're ill that you can't move. No, Jesus has healed you so you can. Get up and walk. Jesus didn't say stand on your place, right? Okay, you can stand now. You just stay there. Stand and now walk. Grateful for the healing, and now I'm going to use it to do something. Grateful for the prophetic word, but now I'm going to work that out. Jesus didn't wake up one morning and go, ping, another prophetic word fulfilled. Ping, another prophetic word fulfilled. No, he planned to fulfill the prophetic words that were spoken of him once for all time. He planned. Where he had control over the prophetic word, he worked it out. And where he didn't, he allowed God to work it out. He couldn't control that Joseph and Mary would go down to Bethlehem, but they did under the direction of the Father. So those words could be fulfilled. But when it said that he wouldn't drink, or he wouldn't do this, or he would go here, or you'd do that, he knew of those words, so he walked it out. Grateful for the word spoken over him, so he could walk out and express his purpose. Am I making sense? All right. Give me an African amen. There we go. We're getting it. I'm impressed. You see, there is a faith involved. And if ever you give me a microphone unprepared and say, preach, you're probably going to get a message on faith. That's where I operate. I just bounce off the walls with passion and let's go. My wife cringes. Because my wife is the one that keeps me grounded and balanced. Amen? And so I can go and bounce off walls. And as I'm getting older, I'm getting more and more balanced. And I'm going to get centered one day. But there's a faith about, I can stand up here all day and cast vision for the church. I can tell you ideas and things. I mean, even some of the leaders are going, okay, let's just process. I talk to some leaders and I see the cogs going, shut up, Craig. Because I can cast vision all day. I can dream dreams all day. I can have ideas all day. I'm an idea kind of guy. I wake up thinking about new things to do and new gadgets to buy and how we can plug that up and broadcast here and get here and reach this place, part of the world, for Jesus. And I wake up with these ideas. But some of them, how many of you know, aren't going to be viable? Because I haven't counted the cost. How many of you know that God dreams for you, but even he knows some of those dreams won't come to be? I long to have a child that was a medical doctor to cut medical costs. Just saying. Kevin comes to me and comes to Leanne and he says, I want to be a doctor. I go, hallelujah, Jesus, amen. Let's do this. And then we saw the cost of becoming a doctor and I said, let's not do this. Don't you want to go into banking rather? But I still had a dream, right? It didn't come to pass because of circumstance and situations, but I still dreamed with him. Aren't we blessed that we have a father that dreams about the very best for us? And even though sometimes those dreams don't come to pass, I know that my Father in heaven is dreaming for the very best for me every moment of my day. He's thinking, hey, wouldn't it be cool if? Wouldn't it be cool if? And he's so big, he's thinking, wouldn't it be cool if thoughts by the trillions for me every second, and by the trillions for you, and by the trillions for everybody else. He's just thinking and wishing and hoping and praying that good's going to happen on you. He was so set on making sure good things happen to you that he sent his only begotten son so that anybody who could believe that he dreamed to love them would get a glimpse of his love. Come on. But you know what? Even though God dreamed a dream, expectation, he knew what it would cost. He knew that there were some things that had to be walked out purposefully, methodically, in a systematized way, Ten Commandments, in a process-driven covenantal relationship with Abraham. He knew there were things that had to be done, round, square or sharp edges that needed to be rounded, thoughts that needed to be changed before the wondrous faith expression of Jesus could burst onto the scene. There needed to be a balance. And you know what kept Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit in balance through that whole process? They were thankful for you. Wow. They were thankful that this process of keeping the cost and the expectation in balance would result in a relationship with you. Wow. I just got goosebumps. You got something out of this service that the 9 o'clock one didn't get. That just came to us. That just right now, God just put that in my heart. That he was thankful. You kept him in balance. He didn't rush headlong and go, there's Jesus. I don't really know what to do with you, but there's Jesus. No, there were thousands of years that had to be walked out and processes that needed to be put in place so that the moment that faith expression of Jesus dropped into the planet, it would be good once for all time. Yeah? And so when we have a look at this process of desiring versus counting the cost, the balance is thankfulness. Don't get caught up in counting the cost. Oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, I'll never sing like that. Oh, I'll never be able to do that. Oh, my word, what am I doing? Stop it. Look at me. Stop it. You just did it again. Oh, then you did it again. Stop it. That internal voice that tells you that you're not good enough and you've got to count the cost all the time and dot the I's and cross the T's and they better be straight and it's got to be organized and it's got to be like this and it's got to be done. Shut up! Stop it. And if you're walking into church with, oh, I'm just here to receive. Stop it. Be thankful for what Jesus has done so that we can get on with what he's doing. Get into balance. The people that need to count the cost well. Join with people that are in faith so they can have faith well. Complement one each other so that we can be one body or multiple parts coming together to form the perfect unity that Jesus is desiring for us to have so that we can be in balance about getting the kingdom of God built. If you want to be super spiritual, that's cool. If you want to flow in the prophetic, that's my gift. I want to join. I want to talk to you. But let's hook up with someone like Leanne. Let's hook up with people that can work in faith. And let's get in balance. Let's be thankful. And so when we have a look at it, I want to be working in both the faith in this church and the wisdom. I want to hear the generation that's passed talking into my life. I want to glean from their counting the cost. I want to know what's gone in here. I want to know how much blood, sweat, and tears has gone into building this building and providing this platform. Hey, you are never too old to give me your wisdom. Trust me, that's your qualifier. You're going to help me count the cost like nobody else can. But hey, youth, young guys, people join arms with me as we go and take a community for Jesus. And let's go back to those generations that went before us, the Stans and the Cathys of the world, the people that have sown in here, the people that have grown this church. Let's sow into them the joy of coming back and telling them the story of what they set us up to do. Because now we're keeping in balance. Now we're being thankful. How many of you know that we're going to have plenty of desires in this church? Man, I have one that's pressing. It's big. We're going to get the carpet off the walls. You know how long it takes the poor cleaning staff to vacuum vertically? I got this thing. We need a new car park. Don't you think that it's a little bit rude of us to expect somebody to have a 4x4 to get into church? We need to resurface our car lot. Don't you think that's a good idea? I got plenty of desires. I want a new sound system. I want a new stage. I want new cameras. I want new lighting. I want sound and smoke. I want praise and worship in here every Wednesday. Man, I got desires. You know what? Lean forward. I might not see them all. We might have desired to have a new auditorium by now. We might have been sowing into that pad, hoping that a church would grow. But you know what? How many of you know that if we keep thankful, we can keep a balance where even if our desires don't come to pass right now, they will come to pass for the next generation to reap and benefit from? Even though we might drive past that pad every Sunday going, I sowed into that building fund. Get into balance. Stop counting the cost and see the dream. And if you go there, we're going to have a new auditorium there sometime. Start giving so we can build it. Am I? Yeah? I got Nigerian on you just now. We have to be understanding that the desires of our heart might be a dream placed on us by God for the future generation. And we might not see the outworking of our work right now, but man, I can't wait to see my grandchild preach in that new auditorium. I can't wait to see my grandchild's child lead with all of your children's children in that new building. Amen? We're not sowing for ourselves. We're sowing to be thankful. We're sowing to be balanced. We're sowing because when we give of our time, our treasure, and our talent, that keeps us thankful. And when we have a look at this process of keeping in balance, here's what I want to say to you. Some vision casting. What to expect after Pastor Stan and Kathy leave. And can I tell you something? Some of these statements have come from Pastor Stan and Kathy. I've heard their hearts. We've sat for hours meeting with them. And I want to tell you that because I am grateful for what they have done, this is what to expect. We will stop only short of sin to see people transformed for Jesus Christ. The only thing I will not give up in transforming Brownwood and beyond for Jesus Christ is my relationship with God. Otherwise, I'll put it on the altar, pull out a knife, and stab that sucker. And until Jesus says, don't stab that sucker, there's a ram in the tree, or there's a ram in the thicket. Until he says that to me, I'm stabbing, I'm putting to death, I'm going. I will stop short only of sin to see your neighborhood transformed by Jesus. Are you with me? I will stop short only of sin to see early express Jesus in the fullest. Are you with me? Because you see, I'm not going to hold back, shrink back, and just count the cost. Oh, well, hang on. I've got to move from South Africa. What's the plane tickets cost? Oh, well, hang on. COVID. Well, rioting in the streets. In thankfulness, the situation the world finds itself in is why God has done in you what he's done in you, so we can go out and change the situation. Oh, but hang on, whoa. I have to give a tithe. How much is a tithe exactly? Is that on my gross or on my net? I have to serve. How many minutes do you need me for? Exactly, Pastor. I got to. I don't know what I got to do, but I got to. Netflix, that's it. There's a program coming on. I need to know exactly what time I need to be home. You see, if we are sold out to stopping short only of sin to see the world transformed, we've got to get sacrificial. I didn't come here to this church. My wife didn't come here to this church to do ministry for you while you go ahead and run your count your cost life. I came to this church so that you've already counted the cost so we could link arms and get the job done. Amen? The staff in this church exists to see you operating at your purpose, not doing your purpose for you. Home cell leaders, start pastoring because I cannot be at everybody's door. Grow team leaders, start serving your guts out because I can't do it all myself. I will equip you. I will give you whatever you need. But the future of this church is not who speaks in the pulpit. The future of this church is who's willing to stop short only of sin to see their neighborhood transformed for Jesus Christ. Now that's something to be thankful about. Because let me tell you something, if you weren't willing to step up, I'd burn out within 3 months. Amen. And then what you're going to do? Oh, Pastor Stan can come back. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know what? Pastor Stan doesn't want to come back. He wants to go to his next. He wants to step out in his next. Don't pull him back because you're tired, lazy, sick. Amen. Be grateful for what Jesus has done and let's start sacrificing everything, keeping in balance the thankfulness for the ransom sacrifice Jesus Christ has paid to liberate us onto our purpose and push us forward prophetically to our next. Come on now. I'll turn you into an African congregation yet. I don't know about you, but I want to know what that looks like. What does it look like to be a congregation that stops short only of sin to see people transformed by Jesus? I want to know. What kind of things can we expect to see? What kind of things are you willing to bring? You're the church. Why are you looking to me for vision? I'm looking for you to know what your vision is so we can, Ephesians, equip you to get it done. Yeah. Oh, but what direction are we going? I don't know. What direction are you going in? Oh, but Craig, you know, the carpets. Leave that one with me. I never thought that I'd have to get a scaffold in to change the flooring. Oh, but Craig, but Pastor, you know that I only have and I can't and here's the deal. In forward, I want to tell you a vision statement for this church going forward. Listen carefully. If you have a problem, you have a job. If you're going to complain about something in the church, or there's a problem out there, like a pothole in the car park, you got a job. It's your church. You are the church. This is where we meet and celebrate, and I would like to celebrate problem-free. The finances in this church aren't going to solve all your problems for you. The staff in this church haven't got enough bandwidth to solve all the problems for you. Pastor Dwayne can't even solve all the problems for you. You're it. Thankful, grateful, on fire, enthused, faithful, expectant, grateful and thankful that we can do what we do because Jesus has enabled everything that we desire. And when I turn around to check my desire against the cost, here's the deal. This is what Jesus is saying. It's paid. All I got to do is turn around and go, this is my desire, is it? Yes, it is. Okay, let's go. I don't have to go and, well, hang on a second. Wisdom is trusting that Jesus has already paid the cost. Now we can move forward. Not you have to pay the cost. What am I giving up? What am I going to sacrifice? No, Jesus has paid it. Will you get on with it? However, but I'm depressed. I know, Jesus has solved that. Will you get on with it? Are you noting that I'm not a very good hospital bedside kind of pastor? You can be lying there bleeding out and I'll say, let's pray, amen, you're healed. Let's get out of here. But there's a wisdom. There's a balance. It's called thankfulness. So here's what's going to happen in this church. Three things. Here's the deal. God works in the prophetic. Amen? He can't not work in the prophetic. Let there be light. God didn't say, I wonder what it looks like. I'm thinking a light. Kind of wondering what kind of E equals MC squared is going to look like. Kind of, hey, angels, why don't you just kind of incubate light for me a little bit and just see what... No, no. God knew that when he spoke light, there would be light. When he spoke blessing, there's blessing. When he spoke a future, there's a future. When he spoke a plan, there's a plan. When he spoke Jesus, the word burst into the world. What was the word? The word God spoke. Are you getting me? So when we quote God, we're being prophetic. There isn't a word of God quoted or said directly by him that's not prophetic. Pretty cool, eh? When I go, ooh, here's a scripture Pastor Stan might want to read, I'm being prophetic. When I send a scripture to somebody that I know who needs some encouragement, I'm being prophetic. When I encourage somebody with the word of God, I'm being prophetic. You can't quote God and not be prophetic. So prophets, let's start quoting God. Because if we want to get on in expectation, we've got to know what he's already said to start walking in that expectation, that prophetic word. So let's start quoting God. Let's start reading God. Let's start being in the word. Let's start teaching God. Let's start speaking God. God doesn't complain. God doesn't gossip. God doesn't slander. God doesn't lie. God doesn't complain about the carpets on the wall. God does all things without complaining. God speaks prophetically, knowing what price has already been paid and what he wants you to achieve. So can we start speaking like that? Oh, but COVID. Will you just take a moment, have a coffee, and get over yourself? Shut up. God's got COVID. We can be wise. We can wear masks when we need to wear masks. We can go and be tested when we need to be tested. We don't have to go, hey, I'm a Christian. We can be wise. But we can walk out expectant that God has got this. We can be in balance. We don't have to turn our nose up. Liberals. Liberals. No, we can be in balance. We can be thankful that Jesus died for that person that doesn't share your moral code. We can be grateful that grace will cover them and expectant that their life is going to turn around when they genuinely engage Jesus Christ. Not try and turn it around for them. How many of you are getting tired of trying to get someone to church? You've been trying and trying and trying. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Let the Holy Spirit do its job now. The Holy Spirit's the only one that's going to turn people around. You just continue knowing what it cost. Jesus covered you, and you keep expectant. You keep praying. You keep speaking well of the church. You keep growing in Jesus. You keep doing what you got to do, and watch the Holy Spirit do what he does. Here's the things that are going to happen. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he who speaks the word of God, he who prophesies, same thing, right? Right? He who speaks the word of God will edify, exhort, and comfort. Three things you can expect to see in this church going forward. Pastor Dwayne and Pastor Jacob have already mentioned it. The teaching is not going to change. I'm not all of a sudden going to start preaching crazy theology. Leanne and I are completely sold out and submitted to Pastor Dwayne being our teachers and being our pastors. If you don't like it, sorry for you. I can't marry another pastor. I can't marry another teacher. That's the man that many years before we even left South Africa, we looked at and said, now there's some teaching we can follow. Now, does that mean that I'm going to preach it like Dwayne? No. But understand that he holds me accountable to what I'm preaching. And I hold everybody accountable in this room to what's being preached from this pulpit. But I'm not worried about edifying you. I'm worried about you getting on with doing some edification yourself. Because if you prophesy, you quote the Bible, right? How many of you quoted the Bible in the last year? I quoted to my son and daughter, God is God of order, not of disorder. Clean your room. Yeah? If you've quoted the Bible, you're a prophet. Oh, well, hang on. Well, you might not be fulfilling the office of a prophet, but you're walking out prophetically. You with me? And so when we have a look at that, if you're going to quote the Bible, wherever you go, there's going to be three things that happen. Edification, exhortation, and encouragement. What does that look like? 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is inspired of God and beneficial for reproving, for teaching, and for setting things straight. Okay, it's the game plan. 2 Timothy 3:16. It tells us that the word is our coach. It will teach us. It will train us. It will guide us. It will lead us. In this church, expect to get counsel from me and from anybody else from the Word of God. Not my opinion, not my bias, not my thought process, not my own heart condition. No, from the Word of God. I'm not going to give you some psychological mumbo jumbo. I'm going to quote scripture because that's how I speak God's word. And when I speak God's word, you will be edified. But you can edify your next door neighbor by speaking God's word to him too. Just FYI, you don't need this platform to have a platform. Leadership isn't a role, it's an opportunity. And so when we have a look at that, we're going to have to be edified. Number two, raise your hands if you've ever run a marathon, a fun run, a run for raising funds, sponsored, $1 every mile you breathe, make just barely. Raise your hand if you ever run a race. You get out of the first mile and you look like Atlas himself. You're even running like you got watermelons under your arms. You're cruising, man. Those Nike Airs are just bouncing you along. 0.8 of a mile, you go, bounce is losing a little bit. And the watermelons start getting smaller. All of a sudden, you're doing the paddle. Yeah? And you come around the corner, and there's a crazy woman standing on the side of the road going, keep going! You're almost there! Keep going! You go, shut up. But then you get to the last mile and you see another lady and she's going, keep going! You're almost there! And you go, yes, please, I can do this. And the watermelons start get bigger again and the Nike Airs start performing again and you start bouncing along because you know that you're almost home. They encouraged you, but they gave you no tools to get the job done. All they did was they exhorted you. All they did was they spoke the word over you to keep going. We're going to be a church that exhorts one another. We are going to be each other's biggest cheerleaders. I'm going to cheer you on, but I'm going to pay it forward with my cheering because I'm expecting you to cheer somebody else on. Cheerleaders don't come along and go, oh, I think if he broadens his steps slightly and changes his running style, I think he'll be better. No, cheerleaders just get in there and shout it out from the top of their voices. We're gonna do worship in this place as a mechanism of exhorting people. We're gonna try new things of how we can exhort people in the community. We're gonna put billboards up. I don't know what we're gonna do, but we're gonna do stuff to exhort one another. We're not gonna criticize one another. We're not going to complain about the carpets coming down and the walls being painted pink. We're going to exhort one another. That is a cool pink. We're going to exhort one another. Do all things without complaining. In balance. Counting the cost. Expectant. Amen. That was a very non-African amen. You see, Hebrews chapter 10, 24 says, and then let's consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Same Hebrew word, exhort. Let us exhort one another. Exhort one another. Hey, you look good, but you'll look better tomorrow. Let us exhort one another. Let us encourage one another. Let's be shouting out when people are looking tired. Let's just phone them up and say, hey, bro, here's a scripture for you. Hey, I heard this. I didn't see you at church. I haven't seen you in a long time. Why is it Christy's job to figure out who's at church and who's not at church and encourage them? It's your job. Look to your left and your right and know who's around you. Know the brethren that you're going to heaven with. And I'm like, oh, do I really have to? Let me tell you something. The people around you are the people you're going to do eternity with. Don't lose them along the way. In this church, we intend to close the back door. No people leave unnoticed. No people slip through the cracks. Hashtag lose none. Jesus knew where his 99 were before he said, go out and seek the one. He didn't just leave them wandering around the forest with the lions and going, hey, I'm after the one. Woohoo! And he comes back and the one became none. Oops. No, we're going to care for the flock because we know that the flock, when released to their purpose, will turn into a multitude. When the flock learns that they are here to do ministry and we can exhort one another to go on, press on, you did well, you did good. Hey, please tell the praise and worship team they did good. They put in more time getting ready for today than you did. Hey, when you walk into somebody, oh, he's here to greet me and make me happy. Oh, I didn't do a very good job. Hands were slightly sweaty. I wonder if he's got COVID. That's great exhortation, really. No. You are here to come to church to be edified and to edify, to be exhorted and to exhort. That's what it means to come thankful. Not what am I going to get today? No, what does it cost to get me what I'm going to get today? And then finally, it tells us that we need to encourage one another. When we mix our edification with our exhortation, now it's like running past the water table on the marathon. Now you've got some guy standing behind with a cup of water going, keep going, and he hands you a tool to help you keep going. Different to somebody just standing there going, keep going, keep going. No, an encourager is somebody that can tell you to keep going and give you the mechanism to do so. Don't come to church looking for the mechanism to do so. Go leave the church looking for the mechanism to give somebody else. You're the water table. Not the staff here, not the staff leadership here. You're the table. You're the encouragers. You're the edifiers, and you are the exhorters. When you come to church, I am going to challenge the heebie-jeebies out of you. I am going to challenge you to the hilt to get going, because I know what Jesus has done for you. Here's how I know. He did it for me too. I hope that you will challenge me to keep going. And here's how you challenge me. Edify me, exhort me, and encourage me. Edify my family, exhort my family, encourage my family. I'm willing to take a risk on you. I'm willing to be at the spearhead for you spiritually. I will stand in the gap between you and Satan. I've stared him down. In Africa, I've had a demon look at me and say, get away from me, Jesus, out of a three-year-old girl with a male voice. I'm not scared of that sucker because I know the cost. I know what to expect when I tell Satan to get away from me because I know what cost has been paid. I don't walk to him fearful. I walk to him thankful. Thankful that when I tell him to go, he goes. And he doesn't just go, he runs. Scared. Do not harm me, Master. Do not harm me, Master. My wife and I will stand in the gap for you. I intend to. But I will do that in three things. Through edification, encouragement, and exhortation. Can you give us the same back? Can you give your community that back? We don't give it to you for you to edify and exhort us alone. We want to do that for you so that you can go out and edify, exhort, and encourage your neighbor. When you walk out of here, you should be on fire, chewing on the Word of God, because you know that through your encouragement, we can stop sin. Whoa, hang on. What did you just say? You have a responsibility to help the person sitting next to you from walking into sin. And according to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, we do that through encouragement. Have a look. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. Is today called today? So when does it start? Not on Monday like with your diet. Don't laugh. We all diet sinners. Let's just be real. When do we start encouraging one another? Today. Why? So that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Not so that I can walk out here going, woohoo, I can do it. No, so that I'm encouraged to love and good works, not love and sin works. I count the cost. I'm thankful that I joined arms with you, and I don't want you to slip to sin. So I'm going to edify you. I'm going to encourage you. And I'm going to exhort you, because I don't want to be latched onto a sinner. We join through Jesus, whether I like you or not. Jesus has saved you while you were still sinning, or not. I'd rather be linked up to somebody and a group of people that are on fire for Jesus and will stop only short of sin to see their communities transformed for Jesus than be linked up to people that are sinning left, right, and center. And I can prevent being linked up by some people that are sinning left, right, and center by encouraging them, by exhorting them, and by edifying them. That was very much a golf clap. You know what a golf clap is, right? And now on the first tee. On the first tee we have. You see, Hebrews chapter 3 makes it very clear that we will stop short only of sin to transform people by Jesus. And we transform people by Jesus from preventing them from sinning. Somebody living in sin in your life right now needs some encouragement. Not condemnation. Somebody who's made some gender decisions that they thought were right needs some encouragement. Not a finger wagged. We prevent them from going down a course of life, and we get them expectant for a life in Jesus by knowing that the cost was paid for them too. Your community right now needs some exhortation and edification, not Facebook complaining and bitterness. Our government, our country, even the opposition to this government needs some encouragement and exhortation and edification. Not judgment. Surely God's grace extends across the political boundaries. Surely God's grace extends across sin boundaries. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So when we come to this moment of understanding what's vision, here's your vision. Here's our future at Victory Life Church Brownwood. By edification, by exhortation, and by encouragement, we will stop short only of sin to see our world transformed by Jesus. So does that mean we're building a new auditorium? I don't know. Who cares? Let's just edify, exhort, and encourage and see what happens. Oh, but you spoke about the carpets coming off the walls. I put those carpets up there, you know. I know, thank you. You're a blessing. Count the cost and let's move on. You get what I'm saying? Can we let go? Can we just release? Stand with me. Praise and worship team. Can we just release right now and get back into balance through thankfulness? In the seat pockets in front of you, hopefully there's some piece of paper, whether it's an offering envelope, a connect card, anything. Don't look at it. Take it. No, seriously. Pick it up. For those of you in the second row, pass one to the one in the front row. What are you thankful for? Leanne and I would love to read what you're thankful for. Whether you're willing to put your name to it or not, I don't mind. We want to know what brings you balance. We want to know what you're thankful for. Write it down. Come on. We can't come here every Sunday and go, oh, that message was awesome. I'm going to watch it again because I've clean forgotten what he said. Oh, come on. I know it was good. It sounded good, but I don't really know what he's talking about, so I'm going to have to watch it again. No. We've got to come to church and be transformed if we're going to go out and transform. And today I'm encouraging you, be transformed through thankfulness. Be transformed by saying, I heard today that I need to be balanced, and thankfulness is what brings me into balance. So write down what you're thankful for. I'm thankful for my wife. Man alive. I would not be here today as a Christian pastor if it wasn't for her. She met me with Jesus at my lowest point in my life, and she stood in the gap for me. I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for my father-in-law and my mother-in-law who's gone to be with Jesus for praying fervently about this hooligan husband that their daughter married. I'm so grateful that I had to walk through the challenges I walked through as a 19, 20-year-old rebel. Because let me tell you, look at me, rebels, I get you. More than you know. Hey, for those of you who need to put some substance in your body to get through the day, I get you. More than you know. I'm grateful for those hard times. The price was paid for those things, so I can be expectant to be used by Jesus to transform others into his likeness. I'm thankful for COVID. I was used by God to spread the gospel to more people that would ever receive it because of COVID. I'm great. I'm expecting for another COVID so we can up the ante again. Come on. I don't mind. Bring it on. Satan the devil can throw whatever he likes at me in the name of Jesus. He has to flee. I just quoted scripture. Did you notice I was prophetic? Cool, eh? I'm thankful for the fact that God brought my family to this location to serve. I cannot tell you how excited I am. I go back to Durant and go, oh, where are we going? Hey, it's Friday, let's go. I can't wait to be with you. Leanne is excited. We're kind of sitting back home dreaming and scheming and coming up and all these things are coming together and structured. How are we going to do this and how are we going to get the carpet off the walls and da, 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 and it's all happening. I can't wait to look back in 5 jubilees from now and see what God has done. Whatever that looks like, new auditorium or not, jam-packed youth. Jesus just on fire amongst our youth. Howard Payne University taken over by Victory Life Church youth. Come on. Degreed ministers of God leaving our midst and going into all the world. Mission trips happening left, right, and center. Life groups popping up wherever we look. People just coming to Jesus. Groups of people just forming in the street and praying. The kingdom of God coming to the earth. Brownwood first. Why not? Churches in major cities being planted from this room. Communities with struggling churches, with absolutely no affiliation to Victory Life Church, all of a sudden being blessed and injected with resources and funds into their church to achieve what their community needs out of them. Come on! Leaders being grown up and forming new churches that are bigger and better than ours because we trained them well here. Come on. Musicians recording artist albums, drama productions going around the world. I can keep dreaming, people. I can keep being expectant. Why? Because I know the price has been paid. And whether we see it all or not, I don't know. Just let me dream, will you? Because I know it gets you excited. My dreaming is your exhortation. My prophetic word is your edification. My preaching is your encouragement. I've got the gifts that I'm bringing for my three things. What gifts have you got for you to bring your three things? Are you going to serve? Do we have to beg and plead to please? Can we please, please get children's workers? Oh, but I'm sold out to being multi-generational, Pastor. But will you please go work in the children's church? Oh, no, no, I don't do children. I want to see a church where we don't even have to schedule people to do jobs. Let's get done. Here's why. If you see a need, fill it. If you see a hurt, heal it. In the name of Jesus. Write down what you're thankful for. I've shared my whole card with you. Will you share your card with me? Will you write down, hey, I'm thankful for the fact that we have to commute for a while. I'm thankful that God's going to bring the resources for that. I'm thankful that we're going to find a perfect home to live in. I'm thankful for the fact that my children who are staying behind will be safe, secure in Jesus. I'm thankful. I'm expectant of those things. Why? Because I know Jesus has paid the price for those things already. Write down what you're expectant for. Remember, thankfulness is not just gratitude. Thankfulness is a combination of gratitude and expectation. Let's pray together. Father, we are rankly grateful for all that you have done. We are stoked by everything that you've ever spoken and done. And today, out of gratitude and thankfulness, we embrace the words that you have spoken so that we can get on with the job. Father, we're not just going to walk away and go, we're thankful for the word. No, we're going to show how thankful we are by walking it out expectantly. Father, in this place, lives will change. Blind eyes will be opened. Marriages will be reunited. Families will find healing. Relationships will be restored. Finances will be abundant. Joy will be the order of the day. Purpose is what we will walk out. We will not shrink back, hold back, or go back, because we are expectant that every word you have ever spoken over us will be so. And we will not hold back until we see it made so in this generation or generations to come. This is our jubilee. Come on now, go African on me. This is our time, not Satan's day. His time left is reduced. Ours has been expanded. He's walking around scared. We're walking around confident. That disease that's racking pain in your body right now, it's starting to leak out of your body right now. It's running away from your body right now. The pain is going to subdue. It's going to leak out of your body. I don't want to leak. Leak pain, because it doesn't belong in your body. In your minds right now, pop the disease like a pimple. Never heard a healing testimony like that before, have you? I'm going to squeeze that sucker out of my body in the name of Jesus. Get aggressive with pain. It's getting aggressive with you. Fight back. Depression. Right now. Be expectant of feeling worthy, not unworthy. The cost of your unworthiness has already been paid. It is now time for you to wake up tomorrow morning expectant of joy, expectant of purpose, expectant of a position in the kingdom of God, not an expectation of depression, oppression, or suppression. Right now, expect to see promotion in your job, not supernatural expenses being paid for you. God's working out a long-term solution to your finances, not an immediate miracle. Did you receive that? God's not looking to drop $1 million in your bank account. He's looking to give you a better job so that you can have more than $1 million in your bank account. God's giving you long-term solution, not short-term quick fixes. Why? Because he paid the ultimate price so that you could have the ultimate expectation. That's what we're thankful for. leaders in our community, look at me, business leaders, business owners, leaders in our community. When I said leaders in our community, if your heart went, yes, that's me, look at me. God is asking more from you. He's gonna restore energy in you, and He's gonna give you a new understanding of what your role is in this community, and you are gonna lead your staff, your employees, your businesses, your function at work, whatever you do, you are gonna lead it with expectation, not one of whining, complaining, and counting the cost. Because the cost has already been paid, so stand up now and lead like Jesus wants you to lead. Hey, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, you don't know what's hit you. Because we're not going to complain anymore in this city. We're going to transform it for Jesus. And that looks like clean streets. That looks like crime on the reduction. That looks like people being helped that are helpless. That looks like the hungry being fed, not by some civil organization or by some government that you lead, Mr. Mayor. No, but by the people of Victory Life Church. I'm expectant that this mayor is going to go to a place that was in need and find it's been resolved, because we have seen a need and filled it, find a hurt and healed it. Before he even gets there, we're going to have resolved it. Wow. Leaders, that's you. Leaders, that's you. You are leading from a place of victory. You're not trying to eke out the victory for you. You're not trying to make it work. The cost has already been paid. Get in balance, be thankful, and get expectant. Oh, I'm only starting to warm up. You're going to have to come back next week. Listen up. And I'm going to close on this. A word that I will not tolerate in Jesus' name in this place is insignificance. Every eye closed and head bowed for confidence and privacy. When I speak the word insignificance, does that ring with you? Raise your hand. I feel insignificant. And all the people who raise their hands that are feeling insignificant, kind of put a half insignificant hand up. That denotes where you are. Now, in that same sense, if you raised your hand because you didn't want anybody to see, or you felt like your hand wasn't good enough, you responded from a place of insignificance, I want you to reach out with that same hand as high as you can to the giver of significance. I want you to reach up, not just humbly and timidly put your hand up at your side. No, reach up to significance, Jesus. I want you to take significance that's on offer from Him. And I want you to bring it down to your heart. Take it and bring it to your heart. And I want you to place in your heart right now, Jesus is putting inside you significance. You no longer allowed to slip under the radar, because Jesus has given you significance. You have been given opportunity right now to be significant in transforming somebody else to Jesus Christ. Stop walking insignificantly past and be significant to the person that needs you to transform towards Jesus. It doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter what your IQ is. Jesus has placed significance on the inside of you. Father, ask the ministers to come forward, the prayer warriors to come forward. And right now in front of you, for those of you who don't come here regularly or go, what do they do up front? Is that like kind of holy huddle, or what happens up there? No, these are a whole bunch of people who know what the cost is that's been paid for you and are expectant to give you a word to propel you forward. These people up front here are ready to exhort, edify, and encourage. Because these people up front here are just going to speak the word of God, and that's prophetic. And where there's prophetic, there's edification, there's encouragement, and there's exhortation. I'm charging the prayer ministers right now to use your three things in the power of God's word to edify, encourage, and exhort. If you need some edification, some encouragement, and some exhortation, because you want to bring what you're thankful for, and pray over that. Come forward as we close. If you want to drop that letter to us in the box so we can read everybody's thankfulness card, with or without your name, we want to read it. I want to know what excites you. I want to know what brings balance in your life. For me, that's my family. Because they all serve Jesus and hold me accountable and encourage me so I don't fall to the trappings of sin. For me, that's you. A church in which God has called me to lead. I stay away from sin so that you don't fall. You don't have objection to me. I try. But if you'll encourage me, I can give you my word that I'll stay away from sin. Because that's what the word says. And I'll encourage you. But if you want to come forward and receive some prayer today, feel free. I just want the praise and worship team just to minister to us, just for a moment, just gently and quietly, just minister to you. And if you haven't already done so, make a note of your thankfulness or come forward and receive a word. And when that's done, we'll dismiss you and we can go about having lunch because I'm hungry. Amen. Price has been paid. We will not dwell there. We will use that in balance to motivate us and inspire us to walk a life of expectation and purpose. This is our day. We are ready to edify. We are ready to exhort. And we are ready to encourage. Jesus, thank you. You are our balance. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen, amen. Well, guys, it's been awesome to be with you. We will be with you next weekend again. And we are really hopeful that you're going to have an awesome baptism service here on Wednesday. Sadly, we can't be with you. But hey, we will be back with next weekend. And the journey towards full transition here into this location will continue. But hey, I really want to encourage you. Leave those cards for us to read. We'd really love to get to know you a bit better. Even if we don't know your name, we can get to know your heart. And so, hey, leave those in the boxes. We'd love to see you again. Thank you so much for being at Victory Life Church today. We love you. Just FYI, the 9 o'clock service beat you in attendance numbers, so get your act together. See you next week.